Good morning, everybody. I'm about ready to go here with this PowerPoint, see if it'll come up. We're reviewing our study of the Ten Commandments, and we've moved into the third commandment. And I just want to review real quickly where we left off last week, where in the German, in the catechism, you shall holy the holy day. That's literally the German, the holy day. So a holiday, that's where we get our word holiday. Literally, holy day. And I taught you last week what makes the day holy. Well, it's the word of God. God communicates and gives his holiness to you through his word. And so when you are gathered around God's word to hear his word, to learn his word, it's a holy day, it's holy time, etc. How are you holy people? Well, you're holy people because God has attached his most holy name to you in baptism. And he continues to give you his most holy word. So through these holy things, he holies you. You are his holy people. All right, that makes sense? So again, anytime you gather for church to hear the word of God, anytime you study the word of God, etc., it's a holiday. It's a holy day. God's word is what it's all about then. So remember, the Sabbath day, the third commandment, essentially has to do with the word of God. And again, God in the third commandment wants you to use his word properly. So when you believe in God, the first commandment, you're going to use his name properly, the second commandment. And when you believe in God, first commandment, you're going to use his word properly, third commandment. So let's move on. Let's talk a little bit about the Sabbath day from the Old Testament, because you know you're all saying, well, the Old Testament, what was that all about then, the Sabbath day, all right? Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. So in the Old Testament, the seventh day in the Old Testament was the Sabbath day, Saturday. That is, Saturday. It was the last day of the week. And in Genesis, you all know that God did what on the seventh day? He rested on the seventh day. The Hebrew Shabbat means rest, literally, rest. Okay? So you remember from Genesis, in 6 days, God was always speaking. Read Genesis again. Read the first two, especially chapter one of Genesis. And pay attention. I think we read it too quickly. We miss it. God's always doing what in chapter one of Genesis? He's preaching, and God said, and God said, and God said, and God said, which, by the way, side note, but it fits with the third commandment. When did the church begin? Was it only at Pentecost? Nope. When did the church begin? In the beginning, and God spoke, and God spoke, and God said, and God said. And when he created Adam and Eve, he's talking to Adam, and then he talks to Eve. That's a church. God speaks. They listen. They believe what he says. They trust him. God has gathered a church for himself in Adam and Eve and all believers who trust God's word. Does that make sense? See, I don't think you've ever been taught that. You've all been taught that the church only began at Pentecost. No, I tell you what, church began at creation. At creation. Now, that blows your mind, doesn't it? And it should. Delightfully so. Okay? So again, picking up on this theme, just a side note, but picking up on it even further, is again, I want to repeat to you, what is the essence then of the church? What's the primary or activity of the church? Let me put it to you this way. What's the first and fundamental activity of the church? Listening. It's listening. So the church is passive, first and foremost, listening to what God says in his word. And his word then enlivens you, enlightens you, etc., and then you do your work. So, for example, let's just use Genesis as an example. God put Adam in the garden to do what? To take care of it. He told Adam to rule over all of it, all of creation, for the sake of taking care of it. So, Adam first listened to what God said. Oh, and by the way, you remember there was another word that God spoke to Adam before he created Eve? You can eat from any tree in the garden except this one. If you eat from that one, you'll die. That was also a sermon that God preached. So again, the primary essence of the church is first listening, and then you do your work. According to whose word? God's word. Now, why am I making this distinction? Because we sometimes get euchred into thinking the primary activity of the church, or the Christian life for that matter, is always acting first. Now, if you do that, if you make activity the first thing, then all of a sudden what gets forgotten? God's word. And then you're tempted to do all your activity according to whose word then? The world's word,
your sinful nature's word, and then you're doing things that are contrary to God's word. That's precisely what happens in Genesis 3 with Adam and Eve. They all of a sudden decide they're not going to live according to God's word. Don't want to be church anymore. And you know the rest of the story. So that was a side note. So for 6 days God spoke, and by his speaking, by his preaching, he creates and he orders everything and he names everything according to his word. By the way, and so when you get to Genesis 2, God brings all the animals to Adam, and what's he do? He names them. This is part of what it means to be made in God's image, where Adam names everything. So in Genesis 1, God creates, orders, names, and so does Adam. He orders everything and then gives names. That's a side note too. But on the seventh day, what did God do? He rested, Genesis says. He rested, and he declared that day holy. How did he do that? By his word. He blessed it, and it's holy. So the seventh day in the Old Testament is set apart from all the other days of the week, and it capped off the week of creation. So let's continue. Let's read out loud together the text. Ready? Go. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Now, I can't help myself, but one other item here as we read this text. I mentioned it. You read Genesis 1, it's, and God said, and God said, and God said. He's constantly preaching. And so God creates everything through his what? Through his word. And that's helpful for us then. So when you come to church, you're always there to hear God's word, and he's speaking to you just like he's speaking in Genesis. And what does he do in his speaking in church? He makes you into a new creation in Christ Jesus through faith in him. His word actually does what it says. It kills your old sinful nature, puts it to death, and raises up a new man, a new creation, spelled F-A-I-T-H. See, you think new creation, you just think it's trees, grass, all. No, it's you. You too are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Let's keep going. Ready? Go. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Exodus 20, verse 11. All right? Don't you find that interesting? I quoted Exodus 20 here. You know, you read that this isn't the Ten Commandments, the context of the Ten Commandments and the Third Commandment. Okay? So in the Old Testament, Israel then rested in worship on the seventh day, and they did it for two reasons. And this will be fun. They did it for two reasons. Number one, because as we read from Exodus 20, what did God do on the seventh day? He rested. By the way, sometimes I'll tease people, you know, I'll tweak people a little bit. I have fun when I do that. You know, people say, well, you know, Reverend, I can't come to church because I got to work all the time. And I'll tweak them and I'll say, well, you know, God took a day off. Why can't you? And I'm getting old and crotchety, Denny, you know, you and I together, old and crotchety old men. And I'm getting to the point now where when somebody says, well, I can't come to church, Reverend, I'm to the point now, get a different job. Just get a different job. You're not bound to this job. Get a different one. Who told you you had to work at this job in this church every Sunday? Go get a different job. You're free. Yeah, but no. Go, you know, I always get the yeah, but. Everybody's always sticking their butt, B-U-T, into the conversation. Yeah, but. And then I have to stick my butt, my B-U-T, in. No, just go ahead. You're free. Get a different job then. In any event, for two reasons, God rested on the Sabbath day, and the second, because God freed Israel from slavery in the Exodus. That's Deuteronomy 5. Let's also keep in mind that slaves worked how long? All week. 24/7, 365, 7 days a week. I repeat that. Slaves work 7 days a week. But God's people, God's free people, rescued from Egyptian hell, they now have what? A day to rest. And God serves them in this day of rest. Let's keep going. Let's read it out loud together. Go. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Let's keep going. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day, Deuteronomy 5, 15. So again, two reasons why Israel observed the Sabbath day. Saturday, God rested on that day, and because God rescued Israel from slavery and hellish slavery in Egypt, as it says here in Deuteronomy. Any questions about this so far? Just kind of fly by the Old Testament on the Sabbath day? All right, let's go on. Now, the Sabbath day began when? It began at sundown at the end of the sixth day. And you would eat a nice meal, and you'd have fish and meat, and you would drink undiluted water. Wine, pardon me. Thank you. Wine. On the Sabbath, then, you did nothing in the Old Testament. You did nothing. Why? And this is the kicker. To sit on your Barca lounger and do this with the clicker and watch ESPN and SportsCenter all day? To Golf Channel? Yeah, you hit me hard there. That crushed me. Why? You were not supposed to do anything in the Old Testament on the Sabbath day so that you could do what? So that you could take time to hear the Word of God. And what's interesting here is, so now if you're picking up what I'm throwing down, the third commandment has to do about hearing God's word so that God can do his work on you, so that God can come to you and serve you with his salvific gifts through his word. Now, in our community in which we live, and don't misunderstand what I'm saying, these people are wonderful Christian people. But you remember, there are still some Christian people here in this community, especially in the Elmwood area, that won't do anything on what day? Sunday. Why not? Well, about what I'm talking about here. They won't even go out in the field and till or plant or harvest on a Sunday. Now, you're free to do that if you want. Brad, if you want to take Sundays off and not farm, then you're free to do that. Brent, if I want to take the day off and golf all day, I could. Of course, you might call that work. But anyway, you're free. But what the problem is we have people who think that they have to not do that anymore. And they're missing the point of the third commandment. Are you understand? They're missing the point of the third commandment. The third commandment's point is take some time off so that you can listen to God speak to you in his word. So, you know, Lutherans, from day one, they'd go to church on Sunday morning, and if they had to go out and plant, they'd go plant. But they made sure that they did what before that? Took a little time off on Sunday to hear God speak to them in his word. Does that make sense? Do you have any questions about that? Because I teased one of my friends who's from Elmwood. He's a young man. And if you want to talk to me who I'm talking about, I'll tell you. But I always tease him about this, and I'll say, so you're missing the point. And then I have to tell him over and over and over again what the third commandment's all about. All right. And by hearing God's word, he speaks, we listen, and after we hear his word, then what do? We pray, we praise, we give thanks. This is how conversations work, right? To have a polite conversation, somebody has to speak first. And with our relationship to God our Father, we let him speak first to us. We are his children, he speaks to us, and then after he speaks to us, then we what? We repeat back his word in prayer, praise, and thanksgiving. Now sometimes I'll bet Lindy and Chris sometimes will tell their children, be quiet, I'm talking now. I have something to say to you. Like for example, Cage or Cohen or Cade. The boys especially, right, Lindy? Yeah. You be quiet for a minute. I've got something on my mind. You listen. And sometimes mom will have to say, don't talk back. Be quiet. Don't talk back. Why? Because mom has something important to say. Okay? Make sense? So we learn how to talk first by listening. Now, let's push this a little bit more. God wants us to talk back. Do you realize that? He loves back talk. But back talk in the proper way, which is first listening to him speak, and then we back talk in prayer, praise, and thanksgiving. So you rest. The Sabbath day is about rest. But you rest by hearing the word of God. That's the key here. So we receive, we learn then what I was trying to talk about, the essence of the church or the essence of what it means to be a believer. We learn that the essence of it is just taking some time off and receiving gifts from our Father's hand. So we faithfully remember that we stood before God by his grace through faith, not by any works that we do. And so before God, we don't do any works. But before people, we do. In other words, before God we rest, which is to say when we're in his presence, we just talk to me, and he does, okay? And then his word enlivens us so that when we go out in our lives all during the week, then we can be active and be busy among people. Now, I hope this is helpful for you. So again, Let's see if you've got the point. What's the purpose of the third commandment? So that you do what? Rest. Well, what is the resting primary? What's the primary resting? To hear God's word. Now, if you want to take a nap, be my guest. You're free. After church or before. Not during the sermon. Now, in the New Testament, as I hinted at last week, Jesus doesn't mandate a particular day or a particular time in which you are to worship. Okay? There's no command in the New Testament. Again, why do Christians mainly worship on Sunday? Do you remember? Yeah, Jesus rose from the dead on Easter. What else? Pentecost happened on Sunday. And it was apostolic tradition. Now, we're free. If we wanted to here at Trinity, we could say, all right, we're going to switch from Sundays to Mondays. And we're free to do that. But I just wanted to give you some perspective of why the church has chosen Sunday. Make sense? Okay. Now, when we speak about the old creation, I'm talking about Genesis, okay? You have it all encompassed in 6 days, but notice, this is important. It's encompassed in 6 days plus one, all right? In other words, you have a week of days that culminate in a Sabbath. That's Genesis 1. Now, what happens is, with the new creation, namely in Jesus Christ, he comes and there's a new creation that has begun and is inaugurated with his coming. Guess what? There's only one new day. The eternal day of our Lord Jesus Christ, in which there is no night but endless day in the light of Christ, which Revelation 22 verse 5 speaks of. So, Jesus comes, by the way, Mark's gospel, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Check this out, Mark 1:1. The beginning. What's that sound like? It sounds like Genesis 1, in the beginning. And Mark does this on purpose. His point is that with the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, a new creation is now dawning upon the face of the earth. Now, we just celebrated Easter. And with the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, you get another indication, a clear revelation that the new creation has now begun in Christ. Because resurrection from the dead is a what? That's a last day thing. That's an end time thing. And Jesus does it. And with his bodily resurrection, the end times, the new creation has now been inaugurated. By the way, backing up a little bit with Mark's gospel, the beginning of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, which means there's a new Genesis going on with Jesus. This explains when you read Mark's gospel that Jesus does things that people only expected when the last day would come and there would be the new creation forever. Like what? What do you think? What was he constantly doing in Mark's gospel? Defeating the devil by doing what? Casting out demons. And you remember when he came to one, they said, have you come to destroy us before the appointed time? Remember that? What else was he doing in Mark's gospel? He was healing the sick. He was raising the dead. And he preached God's word like no one else in the history of the world. Because he would say, you have heard of old that it was said. And then Jesus would say, but I tell you. Which meant, I'm God. I'm talking. Listen to me. The new creation has begun. Now, how does this affect you? Well, I've got more on slides. Let's go to it. When you were baptized and you believe in Jesus through faith alone, you have become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Do you realize that? This is 2 Corinthians 5. If anyone is in Christ, whether it's by being baptized into his most holy name and believing in him, you know, those two things always go together, you know. Remember Mark 16:16, which the kids say? You believe and you're baptized, you're saved. But the text says in 2 Corinthians that if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? A new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Not will come, but has come. Now, don't misunderstand. There will be a future aspect to this. But the The glory of it and the glorious, joyful surprise is that you now are a part of the new creation now. So how do you spell new creation?
F-A-I-T-H.
If you're a believer, you're a new creation. So today, the reading from Acts is chapter 9. If you've looked at your bulletins, if you've read the readings on the back of the bulletin, Acts 9 is the first reading. And who gets converted in Acts 9? Have you looked? Saul. This is a total miracle. Saul becomes a new creation in Christ. By what? F-A-I-T-H, in Christ Jesus. More on that when I preach on that later. Are you preaching today?
No,
I was hoping he would, but I guess not. Anyway, so in Christ Jesus we have, but it's hidden. It's hidden because we still have our old sinful nature. Okay? So in Christ Jesus, although it's hidden, we now have a part of being the new creation in Christ Jesus. Our old has passed away, the new has come. That's why when a believer dies, we don't despair, because we know what else is going to happen. Body raised from the dead on the last day, eternal life forever, light of Christ. Let's keep going. So the Sabbath day of the old creation has now given way to the eternal day of Jesus Christ, and we now have rest. See, the Old Testament rest is now found where? In Christ himself. So keep in mind that all the Old Testament things are all fulfilled in Jesus, including the Sabbath day rest. That's why, as I showed you last week, you remember we looked up the Colossians text? I think Ron was here last week and I teased him and I said, you know, Ron, if somebody says to you, you have to worship on a Saturday, and if you don't worship on a Saturday, you're not a Christian. Do you remember that? What did Paul say in Colossians 2? Don't let anybody judge you by that. Because all those things, including the Sabbath, are now fulfilled in Christ Jesus. He is the Sabbath day rest. Okay? So Jesus says, and this clinches my point, Jesus says in Matthew 11, he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now see, if you're picking up what I've been throwing down here today, that passage now has just been opened up for you, the Matthew 11 text. When Jesus says, I give you rest, now you know what he's talking about. The Sabbath day rest is now in me, and it's eternal. It's eternal. Now, this is important because people who aren't believers in Christ, or if you're a believer in Christ and you struggle with your faith, you know, and you battle your old sinful nature and the world and the devil, your life is constantly one of justification. You're justifying yourself, everything you say, everything you do, before others, before the world, and before God, whether you believe in him or not. You know how this works, don't you? And you don't even have to talk. Watch how this works. Whether you're in the bathroom, getting ready to go to work in the morning, doing your hair, brushing your teeth, whatever, you're constantly talking to yourself where? Here, aren't you? And by the way, you can talk faster this way than here. So can you just imagine how Kuhlman goes up here? It's got to be, oh my goodness. But people are constantly doing this, talking, judging, and usually it's either positive or negative, like, well, I'm awesome, I'm the best, or I'm the worst, you know? You know, like if Julie, let's say Brad and Julie, let's pick on them for fun. Let's say Julie gives Brad a certain look in the morning before she takes off to work, and Brad all day long, all he can think about was, now, I mean in a negative way. Get your mind straight. Let's say that she gives him a dirty look, you know, like she's angry. And that all he can think about all day, up here and here and here, is how she. And he never gets any rest because that's all he's thinking about. And so all of his activity all day is based upon that. He doesn't have any what? There's no rest. Now imagine if you're talking about your relationship with the Almighty and you're concerned about what he thinks about you. And all you do up here and here and here is constantly judge yourself negatively about how I can't do what he expects me to do. Look at what I did today. Look at what I said today. He can't possibly love me. You can never have any what? You can have no rest. But in Jesus, through faith in him, all of that ends. All the litigating, all of the self-justification, it comes to an end. And you can trust who? Jesus, who took all your sin and answered for it.
I hope that's helpful for you. Do you have any questions about that? All right, let's take a couple more minutes. So again, to review, what's the important thing about the third commandment? It's about the Word of God, hearing the Word of God. This is what the Small Catechism confesses. So to have a holy day is to have God's Word preached, heard, and believed. And that's a really old picture, as you can tell. So God's Word, then, is what makes the difference between a mere holiday, you know, like Arbor Day or 4th of July. God's Word is what makes the difference between a holiday and a real holy day. Right? It's a day full of rest by faith, as Jesus says in Matthew 11. And again, to repeat, Jesus is our ultimate Sabbath rest. Rest from the law's accusations. Rest from the burden of your conscience and guilt, which I was talking about earlier. Rest from struggling with your sin, with death and the devil. Think about this. Denny, you told me the story of a man, we won't mention names, but you, a man who was on his deathbed. You know what I'm talking about. And you tell him. What was he concerned about? Do you remember? You know what I'm talking about? Didn't think that he'd done enough in his life, did he? For the Lord, probably. He had given to this charity, given to this, and that. And he could never find any rest. The guy was dying and there was no rest because he couldn't. Well, hopefully he did. But when you were talking to him, he was struggling with resting in Jesus. Wasn't he? Would that be accurate to say? Yeah. And see, this is my point. This is, again, so the commandments, they not only show us our sin, but at the same time, God gives us the commandments as believers so that he can bless us and we can have, well, for lack of better terminology, a decent life. And in this case, rest in Jesus Christ, you see. So Jesus is more than a day at the end of the work week. Jesus is the day in which we rise to life as he is risen from the dead. So rest in God's word is his gift to you in Christ, who is the Word made flesh, and then you are justified before God by grace through faith in Christ apart from any works. This is true biblical rest in the way of the commandment. And this is a good place to stop. And so let's pray the Lord's Prayer, and then I'll bless you.